Rodney's Tactical List for Surviving 3-Year-Olds by Tasmi, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction. Rodney writes a tactical list for dealing with ridiculously difficult 3-year-olds. 1. Threaten. 2. Bribe. 3. Beg. 4. Insist. 5. Give up. He tries everything on the list except the last. Rodney decides Torin will have to sleep eventually, so spending any energy forcing him to bed earlier would just be a waste. For once, the answer seems to be give up. John thinks Rodney's plan is doomed to failure, but he is also out of ideas. They each settle into their chairs and allow Torin to play. Surely he'll tire out soon. When Taylor calls at 2100 hours, Torin is laughing in the background. Yes, that's Torin, John says. We'll get him to bed, I promise. There is no shame in admitting you need help, she tells him. We can do this. John tries singing Torin to sleep, but Torin asks for Uncle Rodney to read to him instead. Rodney reads the technical manual to Atlantis' septic tanks. John knows this is just a ploy to get Torin to ask for John again. Torin, however, is 3, and septic tanks prove the height of humor. Knock, knock, Torin says. Who's there? Rodney answers. Farts. Oh God, really? Rodney cries. Fighting his way past replicators must be easier than having to hear the same nonsensical joke over and over. Knock, knock. If you haven't noticed, I'm ignoring you. I have better things to do with my time than listen to this infantile joke one more time. If he ever finds out who taught Torin knock, knock jokes, they will have cold showers for a week. Please, Torin asks as sweetly as he can. Please, please, please. It's just going to be the same joke as last time. No, it won't. That's what you said last time, John cuts in and answers. Farts who? Rodney glares but bites back any response. Hey, why are you calling a fart on a poopy tank? Torin says, then laughs so loudly it makes Rodney and John's ears hurt. Rodney shouts, that's the same joke. It doesn't even make sense. Knock, knock, John says. Seriously? Rodney shouts just as Torin says, who's there? John shrugs. If he's going to have to live through this, the least he can do is rile Rodney. Judging by Rodney's red face, his plan is working. Rodney mouths, I hate you. John says, boo. Rodney says, really? You really are a 3-year-old sometimes. You know that. Torin says, boo-hoo. Rodney is sure he's being punished for something, but he has no idea what. When Taylor calls at 2200 hours, Torin is chanting, let me play, let me play. No sleep, no sleep. Just relax and enjoy your night out, John says, despite all of him desperately wanting her to come back. We got this. He knows she's beyond relaxing since this is the 4th call that night. He considers turning off his headset, but figures that will only worry her more. He tries to convince her to go to the mainland, but she's stubborn about sticking around. It's odd because she never has a problem leaving Torin with the Thosians for days at a time. He tells her as much. I trust you to have my back in battle, Taylor answers. I also know you love Torin very much. John can read between the lines, but doesn't push the issue. Rodney, however, takes the defensive. If this is because we fed him s'mores last time, Rodney asks. If I recall, that's all you fed him, for 2 days. He wasn't complaining, Rodney says. What did you feed him tonight? Taylor asks, her calm voice meant to soothe them. Peanut butter and lantian berry sandwich, some of the Thosian vegetables you had in the fridge, some cookies, and some milk, John answers. Have you tried reading him a story? Oh, right, a story, Why didn't we think of that? Rodney answers. Here we were, just staring at him, hoping he'd go to sleep on his own. Really, we're not idiots. His hands extended outward while he looks as though to ask, why me? We also tried singing, begging, taking away toys, demanding, and Rodney tried tantruming, John adds. I did not. Have you tried reasoning? Taylor asks. He often listens to reason. It figures Taylor would use negotiation with Torin, but John knows enough about three-year-olds to doubt the method's efficacy for anyone other than Taylor. He agrees to try anyway to get her off the phone. Do you know why we're trying to help you sleep? John asks Torin. Torin looks at the floor while he purposely waves around to avoid any eye contact or semblance of discussion. Because sleep is important, he says eventually in a drone-like voice. Right. If you don't sleep, you're going to feel awful in the morning. You don't want that, and I don't want that. So the best plan here is to get some sleep. No. No bed. No bed. I don't want to. Look, if you want to have energy to play, then you need sleep. So get going. Sleep. Now, says Rodney. Poopy head, Torin replies, laughing and running away. That went about as well as I expected, John tells Rodney. Let me try, Rodney says. He turns to Torin. Get in bed and I'll tell you a story. Okay. Torin races to his bed, but John knows this is short-lived, just as the other five story attempts. Rodney attempts telling a story about a monster alien turtle named George that lives on the mainland. Meanwhile, John gets Torin a glass of water. The story leaves Torin with many questions. A monster turtle? Torin asks, laughing loudly enough to wake all of Atlantis. With claws? That's so silly. Why 100 legs? Why claws? He walks silly. That's silly. Rodney draws the story out as long as he can, but then Torin seems more awake than he did before. Just go to bed, Rodney begs. Torin's laugh stops abruptly. He throws himself on the bed and starts kicking. No, bed. I want to play. Just let me play. Any more words are left to his terrible cries. The rest of Atlantis probably thinks John and Rodney are torturing the poor kid. Somehow the cries die off. A while longer later, there's silence. John peeks in, only to find Rodney sleeping while Torin draws on the walls with permanent marker. Hey, back in bed, now! He uses his extra sharp giving orders voice. It can make the Marines jump. But Torin just keeps on coloring, pretending not to notice John. John's tempted for a moment to call in the Marines. Surely they'd be able to get Torin to sleep. He hesitates out of pride. Calling anyone else would seem like a failure. Lauren and several others never have any problem getting Torin to sleep, so it would make John look bad. He checks Rodney's list. He's tried all five without success and can't think of anything else to add. He decides to try giving up one last time. He settles into a nearby chair and closes his eyes. He hears clanging dishes, singing toys, and scurrying little feet. The noises continue for a good hour. He feels like he's on a mission, keeping quiet and feigning sleep to gain intel. John sighs in relief when he hears rhythmic breathing. Just to be sure, he waits a moment before opening his eyes. He finds Torin across the room, draped over a toy in a contorted position that can't be comfortable. Should we move him? Rodney asks. You were never really asleep, were you? John asks. No, not really. Should we move him? Rodney asks again. John shakes his head. Not worth the risk. See, I told you my plan would work, Rodney says. John gives an incredulous stare but doesn't answer further. A glance at the nearby clocks reveals it's already past midnight. Not exactly the best way to show Taylor they were responsible. There has to be a better way, John says. Oh, no, no, no. I know that look. No. We're not doing this again. There's something to be said for giving up and not choosing to go through hell over and over again.
We're going to solve this, John says. He won't be bested by a kid. He's determined to prove himself. Rodney sighs next to him. Fine, he says, but we're going to need a better list.